Wisdom. God's wisdom. We need wisdom in these last days, church. All of us need the wisdom of God to see us through in these last days. We need to be making better decisions, right? And there's only one that can help us with that. So the message today is wisdom. So I'm going to begin. In these last days of great deception, our only defense against lies is to put our trust in the wisdom that comes from God alone. We all face many choices. All of you here will face many choices and decisions. And all of us want to make the right choices, okay? Because our life ultimately is a series of choices you make. From the day you're 18, 15, the choices you make determine the life you have. So because of this, we'll be looking at what the Bible teaches about wisdom. Where it comes from, why we need it, and how God gives it to us to use in our daily lives. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from 1 Kings 3. Okay, we're going to be reading from one section, 1 Kings 3. Remember, when we read the Word of God, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharp, right? Open your heart, let God start to minister to you through the Scriptures. So 1 Kings 3 says the following. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was a great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he has walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued with this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on the throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father, David. But I am a little child, and I do not know how to go out and how to come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, gift your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Who is able to judge this great people of yours?" This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon has asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. I'm just going to stop there. A few things stand out in this passage. Firstly, Solomon humbled himself, right? Humility, by saying, I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Humility, very important before God. Secondly, he did not ask for wisdom for himself, but so that he could serve the people well, okay, the people around him, needing understanding and divine knowledge to do so. So in the same way today, we struggle with the challenges ahead of us, but we too can ask God to help us where we are. So let us now see how Lord helped Solomon in the situation that followed. So we're going to just carry on reading just a bit further. So you can see the request of King Solomon, and then you can see how he put it to use. So verse 16, now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. And I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us that were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid the dead child on my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead on my bosom. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son who I had born. Then the other woman said, No, but the living one is my son, and the one who is dead is your son. And the first woman said, No, but the dead one is yours, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, The one says, This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, Bring me the sword. So he brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and said, Oh, my Lord, give the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other one said, Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. I'm going to stop there. So we see him requesting the wisdom, and then we see the story where God is showing us how the wisdom is working, right? Because all of us here, we have different situations in our life. Many of you here have different things right now, decisions you have to make. And God is wanting us to understand how wisdom is working. For who is wisdom for us today? I'm going to be reading just a small excerpt from Matthew 12:38. It will give us the answer. It will give you the answer. Matthew 12:38, if you want to turn to your Bibles. And so this is Jesus, Matthew 12:38. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answering, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to accept the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here." Christ is declaring that the wisdom is greater than Solomon is here, and is present and available to all of us. So how to access this wisdom? We've gone from the Old Testament, we've gone from the story, we've gone from the requests. We see we need wisdom to make better decisions in our lives, to be smart, right? And we know that wisdom comes from God. James verse 1:2 tells us, and it reads the following: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Yeah, all of us have got various trials going on. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." If any of you lacks wisdom, if anyone here lacks wisdom, doesn't know what to do, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But it says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. God is showing us, listen, church, all of us here can ask for wisdom. Lord, you know, my life's a mess, really. Right? You may be thinking, 2026 is January. Look back last year, the year before, you come to the conclusion, you know, my life's been a mess. It is a mess. This is where you start to get serious now, church. This is where the scriptures we've been reading come before you, right? We're not reading it like a historical document. You're reading it now because you're thinking, you know, Lord, I need some wisdom. I need to make better decisions, better choices in the days ahead. James tells us, ask God. We are told to ask God for wisdom with a sincere heart, right? You can't say, oh God, you know what, I've got this, you know, can you just help me, just tell me. It's not like that. You're not asking correctly. You have to sincerely ask, Lord, help me, guide me. If you don't, I'm going to mess my life up. I'm going to make a mess of my life. I'm going to waste 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. And my life is going to come to nothing. Ask God with a sincere heart and have the faith to believe God has given it to you. Ask without doubting. It means to ask with intent. Lord, you've got to help me. I need you to help me. With conviction. Not merely speaking words in the air, right? Oh, Lord, can you help me? Lord, you know what? I've got this going on. I'm not sure. You know, you don't test the Lord. Don't test him. All right? Because God knows your heart, people. He knows your heart right now, sitting here. He knows what's in you. Don't test the Lord. Lord, I need help. Help me. So don't speak words into the air with no expectation. True faith believes that God hears. If you're asking God, he's going to hear you. God responds and gives wisdom generously to those who seek him. Everyone here, including me, we need wisdom for this month, don't we? For next month, to make choices, don't we, church? With health choices, medical choices, choices with our life, with our education. Think about it, right? I wasted from 19, I spoke to someone, 20 years of nothing. I wasted 20 years, right, from my teens to my early 30s, late 30s, with nothing. Hanging around the wrong people, did the wrong thing. Wasted 20, nothing much to show for it. Honestly. Right? For some of you here today, you can make better choices. You can make better choices. It's never too late. What is wisdom? Wisdom is God's given ability to live rightly by seeing life from God's point of view. Right? It's like this. You know, Lord, you know next month, right? I don't know. Lord, can you help me? Lord knows, right? God knows. He knows. So that's what you're doing. He'll give you the wisdom and discernment so that you don't waste your time, church. You don't waste your time with the wrong people, wrong advice, wrong information, wrong doctor's reports, wrong people around you, discouraging you, right? Think about it. You want certain people around you that are going to encourage you in your life and in your journey. The rest, chop, cut, remove. Yeah. They'll waste your life 3 years, 5 years, 9 years, 10 years. Because you're too comfortable with someone. But he's my friend. I have had lots of friends, church. But they're really not your friends, right? They're just your associates. They're people you hang around with, right? People not wanting to move with God. People with no expectation, with no drive. Wisdom from God is God's point of view that you can put into action every day. Right? This is different now. This is not information. This is not knowledge that the world and people are guessing. Do this, do that. This is God trying to instruct you. It's not your intelligence or knowledge. It's God's wisdom is truth lived out. The wisdom of God is different. It will direct you, right? It will put you in the right place. It will make sure you're hitting what God has for you. Because you're saved for a reason, right? You're not saved for nothing. You're saved for a reason. And at the end of that, you know, it will produce fruit in you. Right? Your life, if you follow God, it's going to produce fruit. Good decisions, good fruit, good choices. You're going to have more peace in your life. You're going to be more settled in your life. You're going to be more secure in your life. Right? Because you're on a path and God knows it. So for us today, how do we access this, right? All these things that we've been speaking about. As believers, we have access to God's wisdom through the... Thank you. The Holy Spirit. Think about it. Without the Holy Spirit, you're guessing. I promise you, without the Holy Spirit, you're guessing. God's wisdom through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Think about it. We spoke about it last week. Internal navigational system. Don't go here. Do that. Stop here. Wait here. No to that person. Yes to that person. Have a good day. Internal navigation. Discernment. Wisdom. Common sense. Not wanting to be a part of the crowd. Right? God is not a crowd. He's not a crowd pleaser. He's not a man pleaser. We're not men pleasers. You're God pleasers, right? What God says, you do. What man says, you avoid. Okay? Separation. Remember, we're the church. You're the church. We're not the world. The world, listen to the world. The church, listen to God Almighty by the Holy Spirit. Church, you need to understand this. Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord. You can read the whole list. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. In the Old Testament, same as today. How do you get more wisdom and understanding? You have the Holy Spirit in you because you believe in Jesus Christ and you start trusting that intuition inside you, right? When that voice says, don't do that, don't go there, you're not feeling right, obey it. Those people, I'm not sure. Okay, you know what, Lord? Park them to the side. That investment, no, I'm not doing that. That job, I'm not sure. Right? Start to live your life led by the Lord, right? You might not get it right all the time, right? But you'll get it right more and more. And as you get older and you mature, you'll get it a lot more. Remember, the church is training and equipping. Well, I can't do it for you, but I can give you the instructions that you may follow, right? So you can understand it and you can follow it. All right? Led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God and Christ. And the more we are led by the Holy Spirit, the more we have access to wisdom. Right? Listen, all of us have been to school or college or university, right? And then we leave and we go into the world. But God sees the whole life. When you leave university, before you get married, making a choice, best husband, right? Wives, careers. God wants to help with all these things. Right? You don't have to go blind. You make the decisions. Listen to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says this, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, meaning us, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Church, today is about wisdom. Think about it. Connect the dots. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? Number one, fear the Lord. Reverence and honor towards God. This is what it means, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want wisdom, fear. Lord, have a reverence for mighty God. Right, look up the moon and the stars. Look at nature. And you think, wow, look who's created all this. Yeah. Think about it. Go for a walk. Look at the moon. I love the moon, right? Because it reminds me of the promises of God are always there, whether you see it or not. Well, I'm going in a cold morning. I see the moon. I thought, look at that. It's beautiful. And I want to know the one who created that moon. It's beautiful. Look, it just sits there. It's just amazing, God's creation, right? Start to open your eyes, church. Start to think about things, all right? Start to say, you know, Lord, I want to know you, to fear the Lord. And we're coming to finish now, because I'm sure you're fed up with me talking, right? So we're going to finish, right? To live walking in wisdom. Listen, I would love for everyone here, right, to have a beautiful life, making good decisions, following the Lord Jesus Christ, having that peace, having that love inside. I would love that for everyone here. Most of us have lived lives, listen, with little or no wisdom guiding us, which caused us to make poor decisions, right? Can I say this statement again? Most of us have lived lives with little or no wisdom or guidance, which has caused us to make poor life choices, right? I can put my hands up, right? Many of you can. However, the Lord wants to change that for us, right? So stupid decisions stop now, right? Today, stops. Stupid choices, stop. Foolish decisions, stop. Stop today, right? The Lord wants to change us by helping us live more wisdom and dead life. Remember, it's not how you start your life. I'm not always say this. It's how you finish, right? You can start in a mess, right? You can make 20 years mess. But how you finish. Everyone here, you must finish strong. Finish strong in the Lord. Right? Everyone here. Don't dwell about the past. Start today. Cut from the past. Start a new life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all finish strong. And I've got just 2 points here. How do we do that? Humility. Humility. We are reminded that we must ask God like a little child. Right? This is what Solomon started. Humbling ourselves as Solomon did. We may not have a kingdom to rule over, right? Or a nation to govern, but we still need God's wisdom in the days ahead for the decisions ahead, for the choices you make. So number one, humility. Number two, you must be born again, church. Listen, you must be born again. You may want God's wisdom, but unless you have the access, the key, and the source, you must be born again through Christ, by the Holy Spirit, we have access to wisdom of God. This wisdom keeps us on the right path and protects us from deception, right? I want you all to be protected from the deception of this world and from people who don't love you. As believers, we must also be able to discern what is good and what is evil, right? People smiling at you, promising you something, looks very comforting when they're lying to you. Right? I think you know what I'm saying. Right? You understand what I'm saying to you? People smiling to you, oh yeah, you know what, da da da, and they're smiling to you, go, oh, okay, I trust him. No, you don't. Don't do that. Right? Trust God. Let every man be a liar, God be true. Right? As believers, we must also be able to discern between good and evil, just like with Solomon, discerning the lie and the truth. We need wisdom, and I'm finishing now, for choosing our next job, our business, a direction, maybe a university course, maybe with health, right? Maybe with a change of direction. Maybe better health and food choices. Maybe for making ministry decisions as we seek to serve God and be fruitful. Everyone here needs wisdom. You need direction. You need a purpose. You don't want to be wasting time. Yeah. Right? You want to make the choice and stick on it and see the fruit of it. Wisdom is a vital part of the Christian walk. And I said earlier, it's never too late for anyone here to start. So let's all continually ask the Lord for wisdom. Amen. Listen, before we go into a time of communion, I want to pray for everyone here, right? Right, because it is the beginning of the year. It is the second week of January, right? The choices you make today and tomorrow, right? Listen, they're going to affect your life in March, May, June, August, September. You understand? The choices you make now, the decisions you make now, very important, right, for the end of the year. If you don't do them now, by the end of the year, you're going to be in the same place. Isn't that horrific? Isn't that horrific to be in the same place? So start making the choices now. I'm going to just pray over you here this afternoon. So, Father, listen, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, the scriptures that we read today, the wisdom and the knowledge of Solomon, right through, Lord God, to Jesus Christ, right through to the Holy Spirit, I pray sincerely for every brother and every sister here today, Lord, whose life may not be how it should be because of poor choices, oh God. I pray, Lord, as I'm speaking now, and your word is magnified because we've read the word and the Spirit of God is here. You will impart in them a zeal, O God. You will give them a direction. You will give them the strength to say no to certain people. You will give them the capacity to walk in wisdom, to make choices with their health, for their families, for the children, for their businesses. That God's rich wisdom will come upon you right now. Because this is God's church. You are God's people. This is God's message. Will come upon you right now, that God will start to write on your mind, on your heart, directions, a list of things he wants you to do, a list of things he wants you not to do, and wisdom, church, is nothing without obedience. I pray that God will give you the obedience to walk out the wisdom he has for you on the second week of January in 2026, that you may look back come the end of the year with a deep smile and conviction of thanksgiving and praise, because you've seen what God has done in your life from the decisions you make here this afternoon. And so, Father, I pray right now, oh God, that everything you want for the people here, according to your wisdom and knowledge, will come upon the people supernaturally. They may have dreams, may have visions, may they go for walks and see the goodness of God. May they be transformed, may they be changed. May you help them with health issues, with educational issues, with work issues, oh God. They may ask you for counsel and receive that. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Church, I want you to just stay in that place with the Lord, right? Still talk to him. Don't break from that place. It's very difficult when you leave the church and everyone's distracted. Stay in that place for a few moments. Refuse the mindset. Refuse something in trying to intrude, intrusive thoughts. Stay in that place of peace right now as we're turning our heart now to the reason that we can have wisdom is because of Jesus Christ on that cross. So just prepare your hearts this morning, this afternoon for communion. When it comes around, if you don't want to take communion, you just have to bow your head and you'll be passed by. And if you want to, if you don't feel you can, right, all you have to do right now is repent, right? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all the sins. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you believe the cross and you believe the power of the cross, then you believe that you are free this morning. You believe that your sins have been washed clean. As far as the east is from the west. Examine your heart this morning. Repent. Lord, I'm really sorry. I've ignored you. I don't know you. Whatever it is, just say it. And it's forgotten. It's forgiven. Because that's love and mercy on the cross. Don't believe the accuser of the brethren. Have to shut his mouth. Lord, remember, we only hear one voice, the Good Shepherd. The only one that died for you. The only one that truly cares for you. The only one that truly loves you. With a passion. Listen to his voice. May the peace of God come upon you and in you this morning as you receive the promise of the new covenant. So if we can have the communion distributed this morning, please. People of God, don't get distracted. Stay in that place with the Lord. Commune with the Lord, right? Start to thank him. Gratitude in your heart, in your words. If you fully understand the Jesus Christ on that cross, he died for your sin, because of your sin. He died instead of you, that you may have everlasting life. You may not understand it. Ask the Lord, Lord, let me understand the cross. He came to set you free from the old man, the old nature, that wicked nature. Came to crucify the flesh. He did that for us in him. He came to give you a blessing, an abundance of life. If you understand the cross and the depths of the cross and the depths of the work that the Lord did for you, ask the Lord to increase your faith. Communion is intimacy with the Lord. Just like the Last Supper, and they took the Last Supper with the Lord. The Lord is here with us in communion, in the breaking of bread. You read the scriptures, the Lord is revealed to people. It represents the breaking of the veil, the breaking of the flesh. And so it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, 'Father, we thank you,' he broke the bread and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Thank you, Jesus. A new covenant in your blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again.